That's right. The driver's line text line said something. It looks like that's what Tony Romo had. And that,
no,
and
that, let me tell you. Let me tell you what.
That bottle.
Nah. I don't know, Jim.
Hey, I tell you what. Tony Romo had, it was a lean. It wasn't this. He was leaning all right.
Yeah, he won't no pull off. What?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't know. He'd be like, well, why don't I want that? Why don't I want a drink of that over here, Clint?
Yeah. Well, let me pull. T. Let me, I got the
I'm
real
seeing
thing.
Double, Jim.
There we go. Yeah, all right. The drive is live. By the way, that was Tyler Milner, who again yesterday said it will take 14 points to win the game on Sunday. I just wanted to remind everyone out there.
As the floor.
Oh, really?
Remind him of that part, too.
Oh, wow.
No, no. It. He asked me the floor. Whatever. I said I could I see a Texans win with games? This defense.
How many points?
Then said, made it sound like I said that was my prediction.
I just wanted to, just as a reminder, I know Clint wasn't here yesterday, and I just wanted to make sure he knew that right off the bat.
Yeah. I missed one day, and that's 13. Where you go, T.
He said 14. Yep. And that's knocked us all off our socks.
I predicted a shutout of the Bills week one. Yep.
That's not what he did. No, basically. He did not say shutout. He did not. He said, though, he believes the Texans scored 14 points to win this ball game. By the way, opening week coverage on 95.7 The Fan is presented by hands-free Skechers slip-ins. Just step and go, baby. It is opening week, and a lot to get to, a lot of fun to be had. We got football tonight, Clint. We got the NFL finally starting on a Wednesday, oddly enough. In Seattle, the champs get their banners, and the 12th will celebrate big time. Just checking in on you, Tyler. Just making sure
the 12s, yeah, they'll be there.
The 12s will celebrate big time tonight as a Super Bowl rematch from last year. The New England Patriots, the new look New England Patriots, will go in to face Seattle Seahawks. By the way, real quick, because I do want to get into some things with the Texans, Clint. Both these teams were, I would say, surprise teams, right? Especially as far as they went, right? Like, I mean, the Patriots came off winning 3 ball games and went to the Super Bowl. Like, a lot of people were impressed with Sam Darnold coming there, but I don't know if anyone thought that this would have them as a number one seed. Seattle last year, these were two surprise teams. Do you think these are still, both of these teams are still Super Bowl, serious Super Bowl contending teams?
Not both of them, no. I don't buy New England. I think New England takes a serious backslide this year.
Really?
Relative to what they did last year, which, as you said, they overachieved in a major, major way. Yeah, I'm not buying that. I am buying what McDonald's doing in Seattle. I think the Kubiak thing, losing the offensive play caller, which was such an integral part to, obviously, Sam Darnold, the rebirth of Sam Darnold, as well as, he was there while the receiver that led the league.
Oh, just Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Smith and Jigba. I mean, when he had his coming out party, that was great by both of those guys. But that was, I mean, had a lot to do with the offensive mind, the offensive play caller Clint Kubiak, who's gone.
I am wondering about that part of it.
I do wonder that part. We saw the Detroit Lions lose their offensive coordinator and take a step back. And so, that's a big question mark. But I still
no Kenneth Walker too, lose their running back who's Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, it's something about McDonald. I just feel like McDonald's gonna. He had a plan. I feel like he's gonna be okay. The Patriots.
Their roster is better.
Yeah,
you would argue, especially.
Yeah, well, I think they took advantage of a bad AFC. And did a really good job of taking advantage of that bad AFC. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think the weather's going to help them. I don't think the injury gods are going to help them in an AFC championship game. And quite frankly, I think the schedule's going to be totally different for them. And I like Drake May, but he lands in that Justin Herbert category for me.
There is a wonder. Let's see if he can do that again.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, or people know more about it.
Well, you just unless you're just a sit back there and pick defenses apart kind of guy, if you're winning with your legs a lot and you're winning with off script, off schedule throws, and usually that's hard to repeat, right? And usually the more film you put out there, the more you know, the more issues that, that defensive coordinators realize and recognize, and then they make you win through that. And so, I don't know. I think it was a good year. It was a down year, and they were in position to take advantage of a down year. And I think they backslide. I think Seattle stays the top, and New England backslides.
Yeah. Only thing with New England, I think both these teams take steps back potentially. And I'll be honest, if there were a team that I thought would still, you know, be in a similar spot that they were last year, there's something about what New England has added over the offseason. And the last time Josh McDaniels had, to me, a receiver the caliber of A.J. Brown, like, you know, obviously he had Tom Brady, but they also had it was Randy Moss. And, you know, they went crazy in that time frame. So we know that Josh McDaniels, and he was younger then, we know Josh McDaniels in his time has been able to get the best out of a big-time receiver. And we know he can kind of, you know, turn his offense multiple ways. So I'm interested in seeing what A.J. Brown, Romeo Doubs brings to the table for that group. And then year two in Vrabel's defense and their system. So the Seahawks, boy, you lose the OC, you lose your running back who came up big, especially for you, your other running back, Charbonnet, won't start the season, and you're depending on a rookie. And I know they're impressed with the Notre Dame kid, depending on a rookie. We'll see about that. But big one tonight as it gets started in Seattle. All right, Clint, I want to get to this in terms of game week for the Texans. Texans-Bills coming up on Sunday at Reliant, Clint. And I think, obviously, a lot of the conversation will be Josh Allen. And he is the head of the snake. You got to stop Josh Allen. And the Texans, nobody has been as good at stopping Josh Allen as the Houston Texans, I believe, in his career, especially over the last 2 years, the number they've done on him. But we've looked at this, Clinton Tyler, and it's been like, what, man, why the hell are these games so close? And CJ has played well. I don't know what Davis did in the second half, but Davis had a pretty good first half last year against the Bills. And it has been really, really close. And Clint, when you dive in there a little deeper, shout out to the person on the text line yesterday was like, hey, let's talk about that run defense the Texans have had against the Bills. Clint, this might be a situation where James Cook is the one that's more of a concern, and it's crazy to even think and shape your lips to say, but just in this particular matchup with the Texans, because of how good Josh Allen dropping back the pass plays into the strength of what the Texans do, they have clearly had problems with James Cook. James Cook has had a 200 yards rushing in the last 2 years, including last year, Clint. He got 6.8 yards a carry. He only touched it 17 times out of the backfield. He is really probably the thing that I think D'Amico, who we'll hear from a little bit later, that's probably who they're talking about as much as they are with Josh Allen.
Yeah, look, I think it's – you're right. I mean, with that kind of performance – you would think if Josh Allen could just stay out of trouble that they could win a game. And that's why, for me, Ron, this game, it's hard. I'm going to do it because, I mean, it's really all you've got to pull from, but it's really hard for me to lean too much into the last two times that the Texans played Josh Allen. Mm. Because it was so bad, it was so out of character, and he just – it's really the only times that I've seen him look that bad. And the thing is, it's stylistically, you know, his game plays right into the Texans' hands. And now how does Joe, Joe Brady, the new head coach, offensive mind, how does he, or more, does he have the ability to get it through Josh's head that you can't go do Josh Allen things against this team?
Or does he say, We gotta give him more than 17 carries in a game where he's averaging 7 yards a carry. Yeah. In a game where Josh had 9 pressures by Will himself.
Right, right. But that's my point. No, you're spot on. I mean, to think you're going to lean more into that, I don't know if it's realistic to think that he's going to have, you know, that they're going to go out there with the game plan of giving him 28 touches. I mean, I think it's going to be, I agree with you. There should have been more in those instances. But, you know, the problem with the Bills is that they've played right into the Texans' hands. Josh holding the ball and trying to extend plays versus a team that is more athletic than Josh is and more relentless. Of a swarm mentality, more relentless than Josh is. There's one team in the league that brings it like that, and it's the Texans. They believe in an aggressive style of defense, and they swarm and pursue like no other team in the league. That plays – Josh playing his brand of ball plays into that. If he doesn't do that, then I think it's going to be a tough get for the Texans. But history tells us he will.
Yeah, you're right. They probably don't want to just take the ball out of Josh's hand. But James Cook is clearly, if someone texted in and said that long run, EJ speed was clearly held. I don't remember the specifics of the EJ. Kudos to you for remembering or rewatching that soon. I think they'll keep Cook in check. Well, I mean, they just haven't. The last 2 years, as good as they've been against Josh Allen, the struggles have been more in the run game. They just haven't, you know, he just hadn't had probably enough touches in the game. We'll see what happens there. But that is, I bet you that's something D'Amico was talking about. Man, we can't give up 7 yards of carry to this guy. Like that can't happen. All right, coming up, the Astros got a big win last night, and nothing about the lineup's box score when you look at the top 4 hitters screams that they will go into maybe the hottest team in the league that has a chance to win it all, the Phillies, and get a dub. That was fun last night, playoff atmosphere, the good, the bad, and a little bit of that baseball boner, that baseball horny came through last night. We'll do that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, I do want to get to the Astros. Remember, Baseball Talk on 95.7 The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one prize, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. But I do want to say this is a big sports weekend. Obviously, the NFL starts tonight, and then it will be in full swing on Sunday. But, Clint, we got a big weekend of college football, and the biggest game of the weekend is centered around this state. I'm sorry, Tyler, but it is the Texas Longhorns as they will host the Ohio State Buckeyes. And I am telling you without a shadow of a doubt, you can come watch this game at the best spot in the city to watch it. I'll repeat that again. The best spot in the city to watch it. Talyard Brewing Company. It's out in Sugar Land. If you're near Sugar Land, your ass needs to be there to watch the game anyway. Even if you're not, you need to come out there. They have the best selection of their own brewed beer. Clint, we've been out there multiple times. They had that grapefruit flavored beer that got us through. That snuck in on us. The Blue Bonnet, it's my favorite. It's a wheat beer. Their own wheat beers, IPAs. Amazing. Bring the kids. I'm telling you, Clint, you've been there. The kids out there, there are spots. I promise you, I go out there all the time and let them jokers just run around the whole place. And, I mean, it is amazing. And they have just built a huge pavilion with TVs all inside of it so the sun is not beating down on you. It is a great time. I'll be out there. And you can come out there and watch a great game, which should be a great game, out at Talyard Brewing Company in Sugar Land. Bring your folks. Plenty of room out there. And we're going to have ourselves a good time.
You get a chance to party.
Yeah, that's right, Dusty. And Talyard's does it right now. I mean, you're talking about a place where you can let your hair down, let the kids loose a little bit, plenty to pick from on the menu, and plenty of specials, obviously. When shows throwing a party, you know there's going to be some deals there to be had. So take advantage of them, no question.
Good time. Hey, you want a little wine? Ladies, the wife, the fellas want a little wine? Jump on out there. They got a little wine selection as well. They do.
You ain't going to leave wanting nothing.
You like a mule? They got that mule for you, too. You got a little margarita? They got that for you.
Hey, how about we just make sure you don't act like a mule out there?
Hold on, so. This guy right here who told me I'm the heel of the show, come on out. We can have a one-on-one conversation. You want to go? Let's go. We're going to have some fun, but it'll be a great time. I promise. Hey, the food, amazing. The pizza's amazing. Try that that brisket queso. I'm telling you, boy, that'll reel you right in. But come on out Saturday. We'll be at Talyard Brewing Company out in Sugar Land. It'll be a great time to check out the game of the weekend, Ohio State and Texas. All right, last night, Clint, the Astros, that was fun. Now, did you watch that last? That was fun.
Oh, hell yeah. That was a fun game.
That was like playoff baseball. It felt like they were going to cruise. And then shout out one to Hayden Wisniewski. They were going to cruise through that thing. And then that thing got hairy.
Got a little close.
And then they had to do magic acts to get out of the seventh, eighth, and ninth, to be honest with you, to hold on to the lead. But it was a... It was a fun game last night.
The way that one ended, I I'm going to be honest with you, I turned it on, and right as old buddy in the ninth hit the bomb. And my wife's sitting there, and I said, "Baby, you might want to look up from that iPad." I said, "You got arguably the best closer in the game right now, one of for damn sure. And you got best power hitter in the game, one of damn sure, in Kyle Schwarber at the plate. And you got the tying run at second. In a moment in baseball, regular season anyway, it doesn't get any bigger than that. And you're on the road.
Yeah.
And Hader ends up getting out of it with a pop out to second base and had us all nervous there a little bit with what they do, go off the wall with a triple. That was good stuff right there.
Blue ball sitting there in the seventh there with a one run game with runners on second and third and nobody out. And that fool on second base. I mean, everybody knows you're supposed to freeze on a line drive. It was just.
Stroh's been a little lucky like that lately.
Hey, you want to be stupid?
Who was that? The series they won before, obviously that last one they dropped. Who was that? It was
Chicago, I think.
Yeah, the White Sox. Yeah, boy, they got lucky in a couple of innings by what appeared to be some bonehead plays. Guys trying to take the plate on with infield in and
Jeremy
Pena throwing them out at home plate.
That's what happened.
They're on the right side of some of that bad baseball. So
yeah, they're making plays. By the way, I got a little good, the bad, and a little baseball horny. A little baseball boner from last night. The good to me, Hayden Wisniewski. Again, Clint, another quality start for him. He's now 5-1 with an ERA at a 3.35. He goes six innings, five hits, three earned, and really the trouble really started in the sixth. He was just cruising up until that point. Three Ks and important. This is hard. I don't know. We've seen this a lot. No walks. No walks in the game for Hayden Wisniewski. So another big-time performance right there. Him, Pete Lambert, Hunter Brown are securing themselves as the top three right now if they go into a playoff series. And the bad to me is Jordan. We talked about this yesterday, Clint, with Luke. He just looks off. Just doesn't like. I know his numbers. He's still hitting two almost 290 since August 1st. But just the power outage that appears that has hit here over the last month plus. He's struggling another 0-for-5. And then last night, the baseball horny of it all. I mean. 5-9 last night, Clint. 9-for-20, 2 walks, 5 RBIs, 3 homers. That's Varsho, Yiner, Walker, Trammell, and Cam last night. Big time performance. Big time when you get what Jeremy Pena. He had an RBI. He had an RBI double, I believe. But outside of that, him and I mean they're 1-for-20, 1-for-18, or something like that. The first four and the back of the lineup. Came up big against a team like that, which was big to see last night.
Yeah, when you get the back end of that lineup, Diaz has had his moments of late. Varsho obviously coming. Even Christian Walker's had a moment or two here lately. Cam Young seems to be feast or famine kind of deal. But boy, when he's seeing it, he can get
Cam
it
Smith,
along.
Yeah.
That's what I say, Cam Young.
Yeah,
damn, where'd that one come from? Cam Smith. That's when they produce on that back end, man, this lineup is absolutely lethal. So that's good to see. Again, it just with Cam, if it can just get a little bit more consistent, which all the greats tell you that it's just a matter of time. He's got what it takes. We'll see when that corner turns.
I know we got to get to a break. What happens in the major leagues when you run through a stop sign?
Hey, flat
and
through it,
and you're safe. Like I know you're safe. I understand when you're out, maybe some, but in your safe, Like, does the third base coach come up? Do you talk or anything, or you just let that go on?
Gotta have a team meeting. Gotta have a team meeting.
I know what happened in front of me, but it's gotta be like, hold up, Doc.
No, we gotta have a chat. Young fella.
Especially Cam. Hey, yeah.
If it's your nine, you do whatever you want. You want to risk it all, take off, big fella. But if it's Cam, one of these youngsters.
I don't even think they put up signs for Altuve.
He's going to do whatever the hell he wants to anyway.
He's standing there like this.
No, the young ones, look, with the Astros, you go back to the dugout and just keep on keeping on. But ideally, you know, as he's walking down them steps, there needs to be some kind of, hey, man, did you see your third base coach at all? I mean, did you see him? I mean, we can talk about whether you were right or wrong. That's fine. But the reality of it is that's going to get you beat.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff's gonna get you beat more times than not.
That's just literally looking at you and just saying to hell with you. Yeah. You don't know what you're doing.
No, that literally is not looking at you.
That's just to hell with you. All right, coming up, big news last night. We'll get your thoughts on this, Clint, and maybe a little time to think about it for you as well. Baker got a new contract and put himself in that $55 million club. In any way, do you think this influences CJ's potential to get an extension before the season starts? In any way, does that influence that? We'll discuss that next right here live on The Drive.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. A busy day today. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we will hear from the head coach, hopefully, DeMeco Ryans, as he has his press conference heading into this week's game against the Buffalo Bills, week one's game against the Buffalo Bills. So we'll hear him as he speaks to the media coming up here in the 3 o'clock hour. A little stock up, stock down. We'll hear from Roflo, Robert Flores of MLB Network, as the Astros are starting to kind of make their way as they've got 17 games to go, sitting here 3 games over 500, still leading in the West by multiple games. So we'll hear from him in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll also hear from C.J. Stroud today, and our guy Brandon Scott will join us. So a lot going on, a lot to get to coming up here in the next couple of hours, and we'll have that for you right here live on The Fan and live on The Drive. All right, yesterday, Clint, Baker Mayfield, I know you were out yesterday, and it kind of was a breaking situation in our show, that Baker Mayfield is the latest quarterback right before the season. You know, he had set a deadline that he wasn't going to negotiate anymore. As training camp came to an end and the season started, obviously that went out of the way. And I know people are talking about joking and saying that he is I guess he wasn't real honest about that. No, hell, he was negotiating. He was negotiating, damn it. Like, hey, I just want to let y'all know how serious I am.
Yeah.
And that pushed the Bucks to maybe come to the table a little bit more. So, shout out to him. But Clint, he gets a 3-year deal worth $165 million, and ultimately he is at $55 million a year, joining a host of guys, including Josh Allen, Jordan Love, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence. Matt Stafford at the $55 million a year mark, and they got it done before the season started. We've seen a few people, Christian Gonzalez yesterday, and their season starts today. They get it done the day before the season starts. Witherspoon for Seattle, they get it done. In your mind at all, does this impact or influence the potential of CJ getting an extension before this season starts?
No, I do not. I think this is an organization that knows exactly what they're up against. It's not about just paying and keeping a quarterback. It's about changing the structure of how you build a roster. I think that has as much to do with the deal not being, done already as anything. I think the other component, which I've said multiple times, I know a lot of people don't like to hear it, but is he a pillar or a piece? If he had the Will Anderson effect on this team and on this locker room and on these individuals, they'd be crazy to not have already done it. So I think the jury's still out on whether they feel like he is worthy of that kind of position on a team, and if it's worth it to change your whole roster building approach. So With that said, I don't think anything outside the walls is going to change their thought process of what they're doing.
I think the big thing on this, Clint, on both sides, why I think it's different from any of the other guys we're talking about, and again, you got to do this, Tyler, for people. This is not my opinion. I'm just simply saying what we see. My opinion is they should have signed him. I've said that a long time ago. But I don't think, Clint, either side, CJ's side or camp, however you want to call it, or the Texans, neither one of them feel like they need to get a deal done right now. Like, neither side, I think, feels like the Texans are not afraid of – there's no fear on them of right now of like, oh, we don't have him locked up long term. I just don't think the Texans fear that because I think, as you kind of put it, they're kind of running things a little different.
Yeah.
Like their priority on a quarterback is a little different than maybe other teams, maybe different than the Bucs. And I think from CJ's camp, they're looking at everything that's happening. Okay. We'll chill out because we can have a chance with a season to make big money. So I don't think there's a situation where they feel like they're in need of having to get a deal done. So when you have two components like that, like I don't think there's a situation of with the Bucs. I don't think the Bucs wanted to go into next year with their quarterback situation up in flux, because I do think they feel like if Baker was a free agent that they'd have a real chance in losing him if they didn't lock him up. So I just think that's the situation. The Texans are not afraid of not having C.J. Stroud right now. Like I don't like in a fearfulness for the future. I don't think that is something that they feel like we got to do something right now. So I think that's a big reason why I don't think there's been any real movement.
Well, there's a reason why they don't feel like they got to make this move. The same way that most organizations do with quarterbacks that have won 10 games a year and drug you out of dysfunction. There's a reason behind that. There is a to me, the Texans, it's not just a team that's choosing to not, you know, to see another year of their quarterback. There's more context to that. And I've laid out what I believe it is. Whatever it is, it lands you in a spot where right now they have zero fear. Of not signing a guy to a long-term contract that's going to change the way they structure their team, and they don't know exactly who they have in that guy. That's the reality of the situation. Player on and off the field, they don't know exactly what they have yet.
Yep. The Bears and the Patriots are probably a situation, Clint, where they are going to go ahead and get that done because they need to have Caleb and they need to have Drake May there. They feel like they need to. I just don't think the Texans are moving or operating that way. Sex line coming in. CJ will make 58 or 62. He will be the Texans quarterback over the next 5 years. We'll see. I hope so. I hope that is the case. We will see. I don't think, and we're seeing a lot of reports that, all right, man, will they be able to get this done before Sunday, before the game starts? And I don't think so. I just don't think there is a party on either side that's pushing that they feel like they got to get this done right now. And when you have two groups that don't feel that way, then I don't.
Well, to the texter, 58-62, that damn sure ain't getting done before the season starts.
Yeah.
I mean, There's, and I think we're up against kind of a changing of the guard of this whole percentage of the cap thought. You know, just because one player gets it, the next guy in line, you know, gets the same or higher, and the cap keeps going up, so that number continues to grow. I mean, I think we're up against it to where that is going to change. I think it's going to change drastically for the guys at the top. That percentage is not going to can't be. Expected to continue to grow with the salary cap when the salary cap's growing the way it is. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen for damn sure. Now, if CJ all of a sudden takes a for whatever reason, it's this 55. We keep hearing about this $55 million a year club. I just
floor right now.
Yeah, that's I'm with you. That's Trevor Lawrence 2 years ago.
Baker's 31 years old.
Yeah, and just had a rough season. He go to the playoffs.
Yeah, he's 24.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be the floor.
That 55 million happened. For whatever reason, that's what everybody wants to get into. But if you really look at the wide range of quarterbacks that are making that $55 to $60 million, I mean, it's such a wide range. It's hard to put your finger on exactly what is $55 or $60 million buy in the league.
Yeah,
is it wins? Is it a chance to win a Super Bowl? Is it athletic ability? Is it alpha tool? Intangibles? I don't know. But that $55 million amount is the target.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, we will look forward to hearing from D'Amico Ryans as he speaks to the media as they head into their first game of the season against the Buffalo Bills. That's coming up next.